Nick Wright, Neolithic 4. Well, once again, I'm with Dr. Nick Wright of the Causeway Coast and Glens Borough Council Museum Service, and he has been taking us through this fascinating story of life in the Coleraine and Causeway area and this part of the world from 10,000 years ago to the present day. So, where do we go today, Nick? You mentioned burials the last time, so that sounds exciting. So, where do we go today?
Thanks, Barry. So, we're still talking about the Neolithic period. And listeners might remember that this is a period that started around about 3,800 BC. So that's 6,000 odd years ago. And it was a new population that came to Ireland, and they brought farming for the first time. So they were sedentary. They lived in permanent settlements, and they had farms. And we talked about the fact that they cleared lots of land and they grazed their animals on it and grew their crops, and their populations expanded. And we touched on the fact that we have evidence for warfare for the first time in the Neolithic period. What we also have is evidence for the first time of burials.
Right.
We don't really have Mesolithic burials in Ireland. They certainly, people would have been buried, but we don't have good evidence for it. And certainly we don't have any bodies that we can test the DNA or anything of our Mesolithic population. But in the Neolithic, we do. So for the first time, we're getting what are called megaliths. And if you go back to your ancient Greek, mega,
big,
lith means stone. So big stone monuments.
Yes.
The most famous in Ireland would be sites like Newgrange or Bruna Boyne, down in the Boyne Valley in County Meath. So these are really large monuments that can be seen from a long distance. They can be seen from far, far away, and they're made of really large stones, and there's obviously community effort to build these monuments.
And it has to be community effort, because the size of Newgrange, for example, is unbelievable, really, the size of the extent of it, even though it would have been built over a very long period of time.
Absolutely. So huge amount of effort, and some of these stones are really heavy, right? And so for folks who haven't seen Newgrange or any of these monuments before, if you imagine a really large mound of stone that then some earth is on top of, and sort of so there's grass at the top, but stone all around the sides, and there's sort of passages into them. And they're used for burials.
Yeah.
But they're used for communal burial. It's not an individual being buried within these things. They tend to have chambers. And then within the chambers, you get bones. And it's not like granny is in one chamber and grandpa's in the next chamber. You have a bunch of heads in one chamber.
Yes.
And a bunch of ribs in the next chamber. Okay?
Yeah.
So when we think psychologically about what this is then, this isn't remembering necessarily one person. This isn't saying, oh, Jim was a great man, we will remember him always.
Right.
This is Jim dies and then
joins.
His body is disarticulated, it's pulled apart, and he joins the ancestors.
Right.
So these megalithic tombs are about the people's ownership of the land.
Right.
And the people belonging to the land, rather than remembering one person.
And that disarticulation, I know that in other parts of the world, like Native American Indians, etc., bodies are put out into the open air to start that process of disarticulation and falling apart, etc. Is that something that possibly, again, evidence might be very short?
Evidence, I'm not sure that there is any evidence for how that was done. There is some evidence from southern England, from the later part of this period, of eating bodies.
Right.
Okay. Probably in a ritual form rather than, it's not just I'm hungry, I'm going to go eat my next door neighbor, but that there are butchery marks on the body. So either the body is being eaten or it's being stripped of meat. physically. Yes. So they're taking a stone tool and they're cutting through the flesh and they're sort of ripping it off. So, you know, we can't necessarily say that they're eating the bodies, but they're certainly using knives to strip the bodies. Right. In other parts of the world, in the Middle East, as you say, some Native American groups, they would leave the bodies out in the air and birds and you know, buzzards and whatever would come and strip the flesh off. But regardless of how they did it, the bodies are then being buried. And the fact that they're being buried within these great big tombs means that they were probably important. You know, it's not entire communities who are there, but they're not being buried as individuals.
Right, right. So we're going to pick that up the next time, and we'll speak to you then.